Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/NSS and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit for this limited time offer. And by Jira Service Desk from Atlassian. Jira Service Desk delivers everything your IT team needs out of the box at a cost-effective price. For a free 7-day trial of Jira Service Desk, visit Atlassian.com/twit. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you fresh, high-quality ingredients to cook delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit.
We'll blast off in a Tesla X. The Pixel is here, and everyone's been DDoSed. Live from the Twit East Side Studios in beautiful Petaluma, this is the new Screensavers.
Screensavers, I'm Leo Laporte. Hello, Flo!
Hello, Leo.
It's so nice to see you. Florence Ion, the host co-host of All About Android,
yes,
and regular Android contributor at the Android Central site, and a newlywed.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Especially. Thank you.
What's your husband's name?
Eric.
Hi, Eric.
With a K.
Borrowed Flo. Shouldn't you be on a honeymoon right about now?
It's coming. It's coming.
You're one of those deferred honeymoon couples.
Yeah, well, you know, New Zealand is a lot cheaper next month.
Is that where you're going?
Yes. So.
Oh, we just had somebody here from New Zealand. Actually, could fill you in on all that stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
I've always wanted to go.
Kiwis.
Yeah. How long are you going to be down there?
2 weeks.
That's nice. Are you going to do a walkabout? You know, they have, like, these hikes and these huts, and you can walk and... No,
I've been thinking about it, but
yeah.
We're kind of lazy.
Not for a honeymoon. If you're smart, you'll just spend the whole time in the hotel room. Anyway, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's wonderful, and we are thrilled to have Flo with us today. We're gonna have some fun. I'm gonna take you for a ride. You've never been in a model in a Tesla at all,
or a semi-autonomous car.
You've never. Wow. And in fact, I think you don't really like electric vehicles.
I have a thing about them.
You're a muscle car girl.
No, not muscle. European. German.
Oh,
yeah.
Fine German engineer.
Yeah, my husband's a muscle guy.
Ah.
Car guy.
So I used to have a Mustang, GT5.
He also had a Mustang, yep.
And I had an Audi, my previous car, beautiful Audi 8L, really nice car. We're going to talk a little bit about how the new Model X compares to those. It's obsolete, right? Elon announced that starting Wednesday, every Tesla coming off the line, Model S, Model X, and the new Model 3, will have all these new cameras. Not mine. Anyway, that's okay. If you buy technology, you know it's obsolete, right? It's going to be obsolete.
In like 2 days.
Yeah. Crazy. We're also going to take a look at a couple of Android phones. We've got the V20,
mm-hmm,
which I'm very interested to find out about.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Howell will have a review. Brian Burnett, who is normally our TD and also host of Know How. Brian is, I don't think I'm saying anything out of school. He's a type 1 diabetic, and he has to measure his blood glucose on a regular basis. I'm type 2. I should measure my blood glucose on a regular basis. He's got a new glucose meter that will use your iPhone to keep track of it and all of that. And, of course, lots of Android questions. But I guess the big story this week, and I don't know, are you covering it? I've been finding it fascinating, is the DDoS attack. Did it bite you?
It bit me hard. And by bit me hard, I mean it made me incredibly productive yesterday. I wrote 3 stories instead of my normal one.
Well, so was it Netflix or Twitter or GitHub?
It was Twitter.
Oh, okay.
I'm terrible at Twitter.
So this is the thing I think is interesting. We're seeing a lot of writing about this. This is something that a number of people, including Brian Krebs, has said, this is coming.
Right.
Brian reported, he's, of course, one of the great security bloggers, Krebs on Security. Mm-hmm. He reported that we were seeing probing by state-sponsored hackers of soft spots. He believed that they were testing what kind of defense against DDoS various sites had. Almost immediately after that, his site, boom, clobbered. In fact, Akamai kicked him off because it was more than 600 gigabits a second of traffic sent to Krebs on Security. So he was down. Brian, God bless him, is back up and continues to write about this. Here's the interesting thing. This attack yesterday, which brought down a big DNS provider, Dyn, D-Y-N, primarily came from... Now, normally you'd say... In fact, I was talking about this with Steve Gibson on Tuesday. Well, why don't internet service providers just block these malformed packets? Why don't they just stop... They could just turn on a filter that says, hey, if that packet doesn't come from our site, our service area, just don't send it. And Steve said, well, that used to be the case. But here's what's changed. The Internet of Things.
Oh, that's right.
According to the Gartner Group, there are now 6 billion... Sick with a B, Internet of Things devices in the wild.
Almost as many people on Earth.
And there's hundreds of millions, what was the number? I can't remember. 55 million a day, something like that, coming online. These are cameras. These are thermostats, microwave ovens, refrigerators, dishwashers, lights. And many of these devices don't have fundamental security built in.
That's true.
In this case, the virus that Krebs believes is involved is something called Mirai, M-I-R-A-I. It's nothing you can do about this, by the way. If you have, and it turns out that in this case, most of the traffic came from internet-connected cameras and DVRs, all from a single Chinese manufacturer. They had hardwired and unchangeable a backdoor password. So you can't change the password and login. So what Mirai does is it doesn't involve you at all. It scans the internet for the kinds of traffic coming from this. And when it spots one of these cameras or DVRs, logs in using the unchangeable default password, puts itself on there, attaches the device to a botnet, a command and control center usually run by IRC. Once the bad guy has amassed hundreds of thousands of these, he then issues a command. All right, I want every one of you to go to DYN and say, hello, knock on the door, hello. Doesn't matter if you do anything else, but DYN has to respond. In this case, it wasn't a SYN flood. It was a certain kind of packet that the DNS, so I presume it's kind of some sort of DNS query, and basically ties it up. It denies service by asking too much of it. And there's so much traffic coming. This is the map if you're looking at the video. And probably all of you have seen this by now. This is where all the traffic was coming from.
Yeah,
and all of this is hacked Internet of Things devices. And it's not going to get better. In fact, it's going to get a lot worse because these devices are being bought and put online in the hundreds of millions every single day.
I've got several in my house. I mean,
yeah, so do I. Now, you might be wondering, well, what can I do? These, there were Huawei routers in some cases. And then this Chinese company that makes these DVRs and cameras, unfortunately, doesn't sell direct. They sell to other companies, which then slap their name
right
on it. So you can't even tell if you have this
device. ODM,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're an ODM. So the fix would be to unplug them, right? Because the malware is kept in memory, in RAM. Unplug them. They reboot. Malware is gone. Within minutes, you're reinfected because the malware is all out there spreading very rapidly. In fact, it's worse because, according to Brian Krebs, the guy who wrote Mirai, he uses the pseudonym Anna Senpai, released the source code. And Krebs says that's probably because the police were getting on his or her trail, and he wanted plausible deniability. So by releasing the source code, he could say, well, I didn't write it. Look, everybody's got it. I just downloaded it. I don't know what it does. So now, you know, any script kiddie has this. And it's out there. And frankly, you know, this is going to be a big problem.
It's our new warfare.
On TNT yesterday, they had Nicole Lee, and they were speculating about the reason for this. And some were saying, oh, this is retaliation. Retaliation for Ecuador, for instance, cutting Edward Snowden's internet access off, or maybe retaliating against Brian Krebs for writing about it. But we don't know the intent. It could be It could be monetary still, because once you have a botnet, one of the things you can do with that botnet is threaten somebody like DYN and say, hey, you know, if we send 600 gigabits a second at you, you're going to be down. Would you like to give us some money and prevent that from happening? It's the old protection scheme. It would be a terrible thing if a fire were to occur in your business. We can keep that from
happening. The new mafia.
Yeah, it's the new mafia.
The
it's
new
absolutely.
Mafia.
Absolutely. It's the tech mafia. Cyber mafia.
Still wearing fedoras.
Yeah. So we don't know why. We don't know how much more will happen. It could be political. I wonder, you know, we keep waiting for an October surprise. We've had a few already. Maybe we'll have another one before the election. Who
maybe
knows?
Maybe it's baseball. Maybe it's baseball.
And maybe it's the Cubs winning the World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
One person there. That's
Go
Peter.
Cubs.
You're from Moncton, British Columbia, the guy who did our show open. What do you care about the Cubs?
Everybody feels bad.
All right.
Everybody feels bad.
The other side of the continent.
Precisely.
Oh, you're from Moncton is in Alberta. No, it's in BC. Sorry? New Brunswick. NB, not BC. Got it. By the way, you're obviously a Scott Johnson fan with the frog pants. That's nice. So I think this is just the beginning of a new era of distributed denial of service or DDoS attacks. And it's all of us because we all have all of these poorly designed devices
poorly
online.
Secured.
Terrible. I was really sad to read this. Elon Musk had a big announcement on Wednesday. He said, everybody, you know, I'm going to have to. It's a big announcement. So what's the big announcement? Every Tesla coming off the product line from now on is going to have 8 cameras, it's going to have ultrasound, it's going to have radar, and ultimately, with improvements in software, will be self-driving. It'll have all the hardware it needs to be level 4 fully autonomous. Now, don't expect that to happen tomorrow. They've still got a lot of software
Absolutely.
To do. But the hardware is there, which means my Tesla is obsolete. Would you like to take a ride in my obsolete car?
Absolutely. Why not?
All right, we'll do that a little bit later. No, it's like any technology. You buy it and you take it out, and the minute you take it out of the store, obsolete.
Oh, yeah.
So, October 4th, Google announced its new Pixel phone.
They did.
What'd you think of the announcement?
It was very interesting. I rewatched it actually last night. I was watching the Apple event that preceded it, and then I watched the Pixel event just to see like the difference in marketing and gimmick. And it was very interesting. The shade that Google threw at Apple.
No kidding.
For the lack of headphone jack, which I loved. I still love that. Still made me laugh. But also, I just thought it was very interesting to see the way Google's going mainstream.
Right.
This is its mainstream product.
Mainstream price, too, by the way.
Yep.
That's where my jaw.
Yep, exactly.
It's the same price as a Note 7 and a Galaxy
yep.
S7.
And I dropped the money on it.
Did you?
I did.
Did you get the blue?
Really blue? I did get the really blue one.
This is Frederique. She's a Verizon customer. Verizon folks seem to have gotten them right away on October 20th.
I know. I bought mine unlocked because I didn't want to buy one from Red.
I bought mine too, and I won't, like you, I won't get mine till November. Yeah. November 8th.
I'm getting mine next Friday.
Oh, good.
Apparently.
Right. However, we have a staff member, one of our producers, Karsten Bondi, who's a Verizon customer. I said, Karsten, just Thursday, just go into the Verizon store and see if they have any of them. And they did, so he bought one for us. So this is not really blue. I couldn't take that.
This is black.
Quite black.
Yes.
And this
it's
is
not
an,
black at all.
These are both XLs. These are the 5.5-inch screen. And as a comparison, let me put this next to an iPhone 7 Plus. So, you know, very similar in size. You know, I'm just going to give this to you. Which phone do you think feels better? Now, I know you're not an iPhone fan. You're an Android person.
The iPhone.
A lot better.
And like we were talking before the show started, this looks like it has no bezels.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
because
it's
the screen's off.
Right.
And it's black.
Yeah.
Whereas this one.
This looks like the monolith from 2001, A Space Odyssey.
It's also a little jarring to have, like, the you go from the matte back
to the,
glossy.
Yeah.
To the glass.
So, a couple of differences. Yeah, it has a headphone jack. I have to say I do like that.
Yeah, I agree.
I had to buy, like, 4 extra Apple dongles just so I could make sure all my headphones worked. I like the fingerprint reader on the back.
I do, too.
And that's what Google did last time with the Nexus 6P and the 5X. This is very similar. In fact, if you have a 6P, you'll feel pretty comfortable, similar to that. Here's where it's the biggest difference. It's the new Pixel launcher. And here's a look at it. And the Google Assistant. And the Google Assistant is mind-boggling. Now, I'm not a fan of the launcher. As you might know, I usually use a third-party launcher. What do you use on your...
I use whatever comes with the phone.
You
I
like want to use the Google
I want
Now
the experience
launcher.
That comes yeah. with whatever phone I'm
well,
using.
Well, that's why I left the yeah. Pixel launcher on here. It has, you know, Google Now on right. the left. It has, you know, it's got widgets. There's a few things I have a problem with. One of the things 7.1 does is this new kind of long press feature. And I think it's, in a way, Google's response to Apple's mm-hmm. 3D touch or force touch. So if I long press the camera, you see it's a little bright, but you can see I have a choice between take a video and take a selfie. If I do the phone, it's going to give me my most called contacts. The problem I have with this is the Pixel launcher, if you do that to something that doesn't support long press, it puts the launcher into, you know, editing mode, and now you're going to accidentally drag icons around, drag screens around. That is not the response you want. And because, just like Apple, when they first introduced 3D Touch, most icons don't do anything, you find yourself kind of saying, well, I'm not going to press that button anymore.
Right.
It doesn't, it's just all it does is make me move my icons around. You also can't remove this bar on the top. This is clearly just for branding, that Google G, because mm-hmm. when you hit it, all you get is a list of your previous
right.
searches. Big deal, right? And I don't really need that. And you always will have this. Now, it changed. It was originally just the date. For some reason, it's now got the weather. And like a lot of widgets, when you tap it, you do get a weather forecast. So I guess that's okay. There's enough room, you could put another widget. I do like the wallpaper, by the way. This is a nice wallpaper. There are a number of live wallpapers, including live Earth wallpapers. This one is a satellite image of where we are with the proper day-night line and the proper cloud cover. This is real-time cloud cover. So you're actually seeing an aerial photo of Northern California. That's accurate.
Neat.
I think that's neat.
Neat. That's neat.
But
I
here's
like
the
that.
Neatest thing. And this is really the only reason in my... by the way, we should say, camera as good as the iPhone 7,
yeah.
maybe marginally better according to DSO Mark. Mm-hmm. I got some great images. I'll show you those in a minute. But the thing that really blows me away, and I think this is really what Google's announcement was on October 4th, is the assistant, their machine learning, their intelligence everywhere. And I think really what Sundar Pichai was saying on October 4th was not, here's a phone, here's an Echo competitor, here's VR. He was saying, we're going to put Google Assistant everywhere. We're going to have it throughout your life. And you may want that. Let me give you a couple of demos of the Google Assistant. You can do the traditional, okay, you know who.
Yes.
I won't do that in deference to our home viewers who don't want their assistant
but it's
launched.
So fun.
It works. It also, by the way, recognition is incredible.
Yeah.
It has gotten so much better. It was always the best. It is now almost always right. Even in a noisy environment, it knows what I said. So I can say something like, I shouldn't do it now because it got what I just said, so I'm going to stop talking. You long press the home button to launch it. How are the Cubs doing? Now, this just gave me standings. It didn't talk, but let me try this one. When's my next flight? Oh, you know what? I'm in silence. Let me unsilence it. That's another nice feature.
You can actually, you know, it abides by it, you know.
Yeah, I told it, whenever you see something on my calendar that I'm busy, don't make noise. Let's mm-hmm. do this again. How are the Cubs doing?
They're in first place in the NL Central.
And then it shows you, you know, some information. When's my next flight?
Here are the next few reservations. First up, Delta Flight 1960 from SFO to ATL leaves at 10:30 p.m. on October 26th.
Now, it knows that because Google reads my email. Apple's can't do that because it doesn't read my email.
Right.
When you opt for privacy, sometimes you lose some capabilities.
Yeah.
What's the weather going to be like in Gainesville on Thursday? That's where I'm going.
It'll be partly cloudy in Gainesville Thursday with a forecasted high of 82 and a low of 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
Let's get a little more sophisticated. Is there anywhere good to eat there?
Here's a result from search.
Oops, that wasn't it. What are the restaurants there? I'm trying to demonstrate the contextual results.
Let's find you something to eat.
Okay, so these are all in Gainesville. So remembered I asked about Gainesville.
Okay, so she still remembered. She still knew you were talking about Gainesville.
And if you see something you like, you can make a reservation. Make a reservation for tonight at Bistro 29 in Santa Rosa.
Sure, let's make a reservation at Bistro 29 in Santa Rosa with open table.
It has to be an open table.
Party?
Four people.
And what time do you want to reserve?
6:30 p.m.
Sorry, what time was that?
6:30 p.m.
It looks like that time isn't available. But they can take you at 5:15 p.m. or 9 p.m.
But they can take you at 5:15.
It's like an assistant, isn't it? All right.
Sorry, sir.
There are... This thing is really smart. The contextual is really good. You probably see that demo. There's also some Easter eggs. I feel lucky.
Lucky? Let's play a game to make sure.
Okay.
Sure, just tap the kind
of... that wasn't good. Oh, it's going to give me a choice of games. That wasn't what I wanted. Let me do that again. By the way, notice, like the assistant in Allo, and this is the Allo assistant.
Right.
It gives me some choices as buttons at the bottom. So I can continue the conversation without talking, which I think is a good thing. I'm feeling lucky.
Oh, wow. This is going to be fun. Don't freak out, okay? I'm going to pretend I'm a game show host now.
Oh, no. You got her going now.
Welcome to Are You Feeling Lucky? It's like a game show, but you don't win any money or prizes.
It's got its own laugh track!
You know who I am, the host of this silly show. How many people want to play?
Two.
Two contestants. Sounds fun. Five rounds coming up. Let's get to know you. Hello, contestant one. What are you called?
Flo.
I've always liked that name, but I'll call you Toucan. Hello, contestant two. What are you called?
Leo.
I dub the wingtip. Let's begin. Toucan is our lucky first contestant.
It's you.
If for any reason you want to end the game early, say stop.
Stop! Okay, anyway, you get the idea. It will play a game with you. I have to say, look at Apple better hardware. Apple equal camera. I'm not crazy about iOS 10, although Apple Messages, pretty great. And one thing that makes me furious with Google is they can't figure out their messaging strategy.
Oh, no, they cannot.
I would love to use Allo, for instance, as my SMS messenger. I can use Hangouts, but it doesn't like that too much.
No.
It would much. So that's a definite negative. Apple's Messages is great, but it only works with other Apple users. If you're going to, you know, want to use all those special features, you better have an Apple friend. Otherwise, you're just going to get plain old green bubbles from your Android
everyone's
friends.
Everyone's favorite green bubble.
You're a green bubble. What can I say? Cameras, I'm going to rate them equal, although I have to say I missed the zoom. The dual lens on the iPhone 7 is very handy when you can't move in to get a better picture. You could just press the zoom button.
Right.
LG does that as well, and I think that's going to be a feature in a lot of phones. I think Google wasn't ready for that. They missed the boat. Great camera, but lack of zoom. And maybe the camera's a little better. I'll show you some images. But say that's a tie. Where this phone sings is the assistant, and it is better and will probably, for the long haul, be better than Siri, just because Google doesn't mind invading your privacy. So if what counts to you is having an amazing assistant, then this is a great phone. If you don't want to be locked into Apple, then this is a great phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, this shouldn't be $700 to $1,000, the same price as an iPhone 7, because it isn't as hardware-wise as good as an iPhone 7. So I'm really torn. I'll probably carry both phones. In my mind, and we'll talk more about this because I'd love to know your opinion, if you're going to get an Android phone, if you don't mind spending the money, this is probably the Android phone to have as a Google Pixel.
You think over a Samsung GS7 or GS7?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the Samsung, and I have both.
Right.
I'm not crazy about the Samsung crapware on here.
I know. A lot of people don't like
it. And then the other question is XL or the smaller one. I've got a smaller one on order. Really
it's 5 inches versus 5.5 inches. So, full HD versus quad HD.
And I'm curious how the battery life is going to be on the smaller one. Smaller battery, but less screen to drive.
Right.
Battery life on this is okay, not great. About 17 hours in the way I use it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see 20 hours. The iPhone is killer when it comes to battery because Apple completely controls what's going on behind the scenes. They kill background apps. They're ruthless. This thing goes and goes and goes and goes.
They stab background apps.
Yeah.
Stab them to death.
So I have to say, given the choice, well, there's the pros and cons. It really is up to you whether you want to be iOS or Android. I wish the battery life were better. I wish the price were lower. But on the other hand, the Google Assistant is amazing. The recognition is so good. I dictate all my messages, all my emails, and it's just gotten better, even in a noisy environment. Can't really give you a pro or, you know, a buy or not buy on this one, I have to just say it depends on you and how you feel about iOS versus Android.
It's the ecosystem.
It's, you're choosing an ecosystem.
And you get, you have the unlimited photo backup, right, from, with Google
Photos. Only, but, by the way, Google was a little mealy-mouthed on that. It does not include RAW. It's only JPEGs, so they aren't lossless. And it's only for phones take pictures taken on this phone. It doesn't give you unlimited for everything else. So it maybe isn't as good as it sounds. Mm-hmm. I have to say, though, and these are some of the images that I took with the Pixel. In terms of color rendition, it does very well in low light. These close-ups are spectacular. Not particularly better, maybe, than the iPhone, but certainly competitive with the iPhone. Mm-hmm. And I really feel, I mean, look at the color. Now, there's a lot of weird colors in this. The color is excellent. And the auto HDR does a very good job. This is a very contrasty, a lot of light and dark in this, but it picked it up very nicely. I think it does actually HDR a little bit better than the iPhone. There's my finger over the lens. That's a mistake. Anyway, I have to say, I think it's a push on the camera. I really like the camera. I like the zoom, though, on the iPhone.
I've heard the Pixel doesn't overprocess as much, for instance,
I feel that way.
As the Samsung phones do.
I think
Samsung
the color is a lot more natural.
And yeah, it leaves you more detail to work with afterwards.
I think it's a much more natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are very satisfying as far as I'm concerned in terms of overall image quality.
Precisely.
This is a good example.
And look, you still have plenty of information in the sky. It didn't
look at that.
Blow the sky in the background.
The iPhone could not do this, to be honest with you. This is I should go back and take that same image with the iPhone. So there you go. The Google Pixel first look, $649 for the 32 gig Pixel XL, $749 for 128 gigs. Actually, that's the Pixel. The XL is a little more expensive, about $120 more expensive for the larger one. I think it's, I don't understand Google's pricing on this. Okay, in just a second, we're going to take a walk. I'm going to talk a lot more. I'm sorry I'm talking so much. You're going to get a lot of questions. I'm going to just let you do all the questions.
Oh, yeah.
But we do want to give you, finally, a review of the Tesla Model X now that it's obsolete. But first, let me tell you a little bit about my doorbell. This is, by the way, we were talking about this DDoS. This is an Internet of Things device, the Ring Video Doorbell, that does do it right. This company is in America. The firmware is updatable. They, in fact, have pushed updates when there have been security concerns. You are going to love the Ring Video Doorbell, and you can rest assured that it is not going to become a problem on the Internet. It is not a problem child. It's a well-made device. I love my Ring Video Doorbell. Here's the deal. You replace your existing wired doorbell with the Ring, or you can use it wireless, too. The original Ring has a battery that's good for a year, lithium-ion battery, rechargeable. They also have the new Ring Pro, which doesn't have the batteries, a little slimmer, and has a 1080p camera. All of the rings, though, have a camera, speaker, and microphone. So when somebody rings the doorbell, no matter where you are, even if you're across the world, I was using it in Russia. Somebody coming to my house in Russia, I was talking to them. They didn't know I wasn't in the back. Great way to secure your home, keep an eye on packages, and look at how well they do this package. Whoops, there goes the level. That's the level that lets you put it in. Upright, it's got a drill bit, it's got the screwdriver, it's got everything you need to install it yourself. I did it myself, I'm no handyman. Really like it. We've got these Ring of Security kits now. I love this. So they've got the new Ring Pro, but they also have the Ring Stick-Up Cam, which is essentially the Ring Video Doorbell without the doorbell. So it's got the camera, speaker, and microphone. Helps you keep an eye on other parts of your property. It also has and it's less expensive, but it also has, and I love this, a solar panel you can attach to it, so it needs no wiring at all. It just charges itself, keeps itself running. Pretty amazing. They also have the Chime, which is a doorbell that rings. You just plug it into power. It's also on your Wi-Fi, and it'll ring anywhere in your house. So if there's places the doorbell doesn't ring, you still can answer the door. And I love this. Everybody who gets a Ring of Security kit also gets the Ring solar security sign. So you kind of let the bad guys know, hey, I got Ring, man. Stay away. And this has a solar panel on the top, so it stays charged lights up at night. I love this. So go visit ring.com/NSS, and you're going to save up to $150 off on a Ring of Security kit. They've got a broad range of kits with big savings for you. I am a huge Ring fan. I love our Ring Video Doorbell. ring.com/NSS. I'm going to take you for a ride in just a second, but I know you're as excited about this as I am. Jason Howell got the new LG V20. This is a pre-production unit, I think, and has a first look. I'm really interested in this phone. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look.
Hey, I'm Jason Howell, and I have yet another phone. This is actually a really cool phone by LG. It's the LG V20. Definitely a premium phone from LG. We don't really know the exact price on this yet because this is a preview unit. So this is more of a first look at the device. I'm guessing somewhere around like the $750, $800 range. It's available officially on October 28th. It's got a 5.7-inch LCD IPS display, which is really nice. Snapdragon 820 processor underneath. 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage. This is touted as the first shipping phone with Nougat. And since they shipped to Korea a couple of weeks ago, I suppose they beat Google to the punch with Google's Pixel phones that are shipping this week. The aluminum body, you can see it's aluminum on the back, and that's really nice. Has a really nice tight feel to it. Some fit and finish issues with this model anyways, but this is a preview unit. I can see little pieces where kind of the stitching, you know, the places where the metal meets plastic and stuff kind of look imperfect. And I don't know, for me, that kind of bugs me a little bit. Few imperfections. I love the flap here. You can see this flap kind of opens up to reveal the external battery, which you can swap out. You can also get access to the micro SD card slot in there, which is really nice. No water or dust proofing though, so you better not drop this in the toilet. It's got a quad HD display, like I said. You can see up here is a dual window display that you can make some shortcuts. You can have your name up there, or you can have these toggles. Also, your notifications will appear up there. I find the notifications to be just a little too small to be super useful, but having these toggles up there is really nice. So that's a really cool extra feature. A little gimmicky, but very nice. Also, on the back, you can see dual rear-facing cameras. One is a narrow angle, and one is a wide angle. 125 degrees, really nice to have, and I really like the pictures that you get out of the wide-angle camera. You also get full manual controls for photos and video, so if you want to get in there and really control things, you can do that. And finally, one of the big features of the V20 is that it has high-end audio capabilities, so it has a hi-fi quad DAC inside to make things sound really nice, low noise floor on that, lossless audio file compatibility, a high power headphone amp for driving, you know, some of the more high-end headphones, and enhanced audio recording to reduce distortion. However, the onboard speaker doesn't sound as good as I think it should on a phone that touts really nice audio sound and quality. But that's kind of a first look at the LG V20. I'm going to be getting a full kind of review unit for this, and I'll be doing that on my other show on the Twit Network, all about Android. So make sure and catch my full review of the LG V20 final version over there. My name is Jason Howell. We'll see you later.
So is this your first time seeing the V20? What do you think of it, the new LG?
I use the V20, and yeah. Actually I have it coming back to me. It's a lot nicer than the G5 they put out this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you hear that they're killing the modular part of the G5? Yeah.
I hope nobody bought any. Hey, look at that. Look at that. What does that look like? That looks like a little mini Tesla, doesn't it?
I thought it was a mouse, like a wireless mouse, right?
It says Model X right in the back.
Yeah, you know.
You want to take a ride?
Yeah, I've never been in a Tesla, so it's exciting.
I took delivery of my Model X a couple of months ago, and we're now getting around finally to reviewing it now that it's obsolete. So let's go out and get in the Tesla. Anthony's going to show his walking backwards skills. Come on, Florence.
I'm coming.
You've never ridden in one?
I've never ridden in one, not even the S. Not even the S.
Well, I think we're going to have to give you the super acceleration test.
Oh, boy.
You're going to love that. Just kind of the overall thoughts about this. It's a very expensive car. Elon has said, you know, basically what we're going to do is sell the Model S and the Model X as a way to kind of self-fund the development of ultimately an affordable Tesla, the Model 3. So I feel like I'm contributing to the future of the world.
Yes.
Now, we put solar panels on our house. So what I do like is when I'm driving this, I'm driving renewable energy we generated ourselves.
Yeah.
That feels pretty good. It also makes it very affordable.
It's very California of you, by the way.
Lithium-ion batteries. They're all in the bottom of this thing. And the range, the nominal range, is 250 miles for a full charge.
Ooh, it opens by itself.
Oh, yeah. It knows we're coming.
Oh, you didn't press anything.
No.
That's pretty impressive.
So you walk up to it, it opens up.
So if I go on the other side, it'll...
No, just for me.
Oh, okay. Just for the driver.
Go on to the other side, because I'll open all the doors for
you. Okay.
And you can see, that's the other thing that's different about the Model X. It's a... It's a crossover SUV.
Interesting.
So as a crossover SUV, it has more capacity. We got the six-seater, which means you have an aisle here you can get into, and you see our kids left all of his crap here. But you can bring more people. What a couple of little geek touches. USB ports for every seat.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
There's only one in the back there, but I think that should do. It also has basically a giant computer screen here. This is a 17-inch screen. And I guess the overall review of this is, even though it's luxury cost for the car, around $100,000 to $130,000, it isn't exactly a luxury car. It's a nice car, but not a completely luxurious car like, say, a Mercedes or a comparably priced BMW or Audi would be. What it really is a highly technologically advanced car. So you're really driving a computer with electric motors in the wheels. This is an all-wheel drive. It's got a motor, electric motor in the front and an electric motor in the back. I got the P90, which means the performance model. That means it can do insane mode, which we'll show you in a little bit.
Insane mode, okay.
And the 90 means it's a 90 kilowatt battery. That's the equivalent of a little more than somewhere between 2 and 3 gallons of gas underneath it. But I can do, as I said, 200, 250 miles with that. It's also a D, which means it's two-wheel drive. It's dual motor. You can see when we look at the display that you get a lot of information about what's going on. If everybody's in, I'll press the close all on all the doors.
All right.
You don't have to touch anything.
Oh, my gosh.
And then you can see even for me that this is a screen. This is the driver's display. And this is programmable. There's a variety of different things you can do. I have car status, but you can see trip. The energy meter is kind of fun. You can see how much energy you're using as you drive. If I close this, there's also a larger display. This is the crazy big display. If you run this full screen, this is the nav. It's using Google Maps. You can see the Google logo here, and you can have satellite, or you can just have the kind of traditional Google Maps, whichever makes you happier. There's also a button for traffic information. You can see I like to keep that on to know what's going on. And because the biggest concern people have with electric cars is range, they do a lot to make it a little more comfortable for you in driving. So when I press the charger button, I can see all the chargers, not only my house, but the nearest superchargers. There's one in Napa, there's one in Petaluma, and even destination chargers, which are slower. But look, if I'm running out of gas, at least that's somewhere
I can go.
You could
just go get, well, maybe don't drink.
And I could press Lagunitas Brewing, and it would say, okay, here's how you get to Lagunitas Brewing. It would take us there.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Does that battery meter give you anxiety when you're driving?
I don't usually leave it on, but it doesn't.
It doesn't.
For instance, you can see and this is the new version 8 software, which came out fairly recently, a couple of weeks ago. It tells me, as I take a trip, how much battery I have now, how much will be there when I get there.
Okay.
And, of course, this is a short trip, so let's take a longer trip. Mm-hmm. Let's go, where should we go? Let's go to Walnut Creek, okay? And it'll tell me if I can make it. And if I can't, it will even help me route so that I can see, this is the trip. I'll be down to 43%. And if I do a round trip, I'm going to have some anxiety because I'm going to be down to 16%.
Yeah.
So it'll show me chargers along the way that I might want to use. So they really, Elon realized that one of the biggest problems with electric vehicles is this concern that there isn't a gas station every quarter mile that you have to find a charger. Of course, you have a charger at home, so you can always start with a full tank. But you do have to be aware of this. To me, it's not a cause for concern. I can also see, I have a Bluetooth connectivity. I can connect to my phone. They don't have an AM radio in here. And then one of the reasons for that is that AM radio can be very noisy in an electric car. So they do have FM.
Oh.
It's XM ready. Doesn't include an XM subscription.
Sure.
But what they prefer is streaming. So they give you a free Slacker subscription. You also have a TuneIn internet radio subscription. So the variety of stuff you can get is pretty good. And because it has LTE... And I don't know how I'm getting this. I don't pay a monthly fee for this, but it has LTE. So as long as you're within LTE range, you're always going to be able to get something to listen to. So let's not listen to the radio. Here's a kind of cool thing. It'll pair with my phone and get my calendar. So I don't have the phone in the car. But once it does, I can say what my next appointment is and say,
perfect,
take me there. A lot of this, by the way, is about autonomy down the road. It does have a web browser, but it's kind of a crappy little web browser. In fact, it won't even pull up Twit. But at least you can look at the web browser. Here's the controls. There's a lot of stuff you can set on here. You can change the suspension. Yeah. Driving mode, I can go comfort, standard, or sport. Now, remember, I said I have insane mode. If you pay
is insane.
Well, I'll show you insane mode. If you put in, if you pay another $10,000, you can get one more step beyond that ludicrous mode.
Wow.
Didn't buy that. And you know what? I'm glad because I hardly ever use insane. But one thing that is true of electric motors is they're consistent torque from zero all the way up to the top. So you do get, and you'll see when I start up, a lot of starting power. And that's where these acceleration modes can really make a difference. You probably don't want to run it in ludicrous mode all the time. There are a few other things, regenerative braking. When I take my foot off the gas pedal, the car actually slows down as if I'm braking. That's because it's recharging the batteries as it's slowing down. So there's no start button, by the way.
Is it on right now? It's so quiet.
Well, it's not on. It's the not car's on. Off, okay. But all I have to do is put this into drive. I'll put my foot on the brake and put it into drive, and now it's on. And it will be quiet because it's an electric motor.
I don't hear anything.
You know, sometimes people think, oh, electric cars are silent. In fact, there's even been laws saying, oh, you have to put noisemakers on electric cars so people mm-hmm. don't get run over. Mm-hmm. But there's still wheel noise, so you will hear some movement. And now all I have to do is take my foot off the brake and just slowly apply the gas, and we just roll.
This is a very smooth ride.
All you hear is the whir of the electric motor. Now, if I were to step on it, it'd go a little faster. So I'm going to not do that because poor Anthony in the back seat. He's
that was a roller coaster, by the way. My stomach just went to the back of my body.
Lisa says, please always warn me before you do that. So I'll go somewhere where we can drive a little bit faster on the roads.
All right.
Really, that's not the reason you get this car. You get this car because it's high-tech, and it has some really nice high-tech features. But it also feels good not to use gas, I have to admit, especially since I'm generating my own power with my solar panels. And then, of course, there's been a lot of attention paid to autopilot. Now, the irony is, just a few days ago, Elon announced a major upgrade for all Teslas. They're all starting yesterday, or they're going to have 8 cameras. They're going to have ultrasound all the way around it. They're going to have radar. And then eventually they'll slowly turn on the completely autonomous software. So going forward, all Teslas will have the hardware to do fully autonomous level 4 driving. This one does not. It has autopilot. And I have to say, autopilot, despite its name, is not self-driving. This is a good place to put it on. So I put it on by tapping the stem here twice, and you'll see it'll come on. And now it's steering. It's also setting the speed. You choose the speed, and I can turn it up and down just as I would with cruise control, but it's adaptive cruise control. So if I catch up with the cars in front of me, it will slow down. There's a knob here I can turn to say how much stopping distance I'm putting in. I usually turn it up fairly high, six car lengths stopping distance. You can see how much energy we're using, and you note that it's following the road even as we curve, and I'm not steering. Now, would I do this normally? No. In fact, whenever I use autopilot, I always keep my hands on the wheel.
Here, yeah.
And I keep my eyes on the road because it makes mistakes. It's not perfect. Stuff can come up in the road that it doesn't see. Sometimes it'll lose the road markings and not know where we're going. And the car itself will warn you if you don't keep your hands on the wheel after a while. So this is just for purposes of demonstration, and I'm going to watch very carefully. But you notice it's curving. Now, here it might get confused because there's a right turn lane, and in fact, you see that? It got a little confused. It also doesn't see lights, so it's up to me to stop the car.
Which is why you can't sleep.
You cannot sleep.
You cannot fall asleep.
Do not sleep. Now, you heard a little squeak. I don't know if you heard that, but there is a spoiler on the back, and this is not on all models. It's only on the performance models that goes in up and down depending on your speed. Mine squeaks a little bit. I've got to bring that in. But that's kind of cool. It has when you get in the car, it'll go up. When you speed up. It goes down when you slow down. The idea is to preserve traction. Let's turn this on again and let it take us through this curve so you get a sense of it's steering itself now. It's not perfect, is it?
Yeah, no.
You can kind of feel that.
Yep.
It also does things that as a driver you might not do. For instance, it's right in the middle, and I can even see of the lane here. I probably wouldn't drive right in the middle. I might drive slightly to the right on this road because I don't want to be too close to the other lane going the opposite direction. Similarly, if there's a wall there, it might go closer than I'd feel comfortable. So despite the name, and in fact, I think he's been told in some countries you can't use the name autopilot anymore. It isn't an autonomous vehicle. It's driver assist. There's one more thing it does that's kind of magical. If I want to change lanes, if I turn on the blinker, it'll look to see if the lane's clear, and it will automatically move me into the next lane over. Mostly I use this when I'm in stop-and-go traffic, and mm-hmm. I don't want to be constantly riding the brake and the mm-hmm. accelerator, because it does a good job of maintaining stopping distance. It'll slow down. It'll even stop. See, it wants me to hold the steering wheel.
Oh, okay.
It'll slow down and even stop if the traffic stops, and if the traffic goes again, it'll speed up. I can speed up my speed. It knows what the speed limit is for two ways. It has GPS, so it has the map, but it also can read signs. So it actually is the most accurate as far as speed. I can trust it when it says 50 miles an hour, and I've set my speed a little lower than that, so I'm going to turn up my my speed a little bit to 55.
It felt just like cruise control when you did that, by
it
the
is
way.
Cruise control. Yeah. This is just a, basically right. adaptive cruise mm-hmm. control. Many cars have something very similar. The nice thing is if you're driving home, it's a long commute, it's stop-and-go traffic, it's a little easier. You don't, and notice, I'm a little nervous about this curve with mm-hmm. that car coming on. Mm-hmm. That boom-boom means I took over. It's very easy to take over, and frankly, I find myself doing that probably.
So you don't have to hit the brake like if you were in
no.
cruise control?
No. Well, I'm still in cruise control. Okay. I took over steering to hit, to take it out of cruise control. I do that.
Okay.
All right, we've gone far enough down this country road. Let's turn around. You want to try some real acceleration?
Sure.
Now, hold on to your brain pan, because this is going to go pretty fast.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. It's technically 0 to 60 in 4 seconds.
That's
Let's
insane.
See if we can do it. That's 60. So that's pretty fast.
All right. And take back what I've said about electric cars.
It does. What's nice is you don't feel any performance disadvantage at all.
No.
The biggest thing with electric cars is range anxiety, and I think they've done a good job of handling that. I'm not crazy about a 17-inch display, frankly. I think this is kind of ugly, but it's very useful and informational.
How does it look at night for you?
It's great. It's very visible. They tone everything down.
Okay.
In fact, with the version 8 of the software, they've introduced a dark mode that's much easier
Lovely.
To read at night. This screen, you probably can't see it very well, is very crisp, very clear. Mm-hmm. And because it's programmable, I really have a broad range of stuff I can put up here informationally, and I like that a lot. I like to keep car status up there. That'll show things like open doors, tire pressure, and then when I'm using the nav, it'll show my. I'll put nav back on. Let's navigate back to where, back to Taco Bell. Okay, who went to Taco Bell? and you'll see that it's going to show me a nice little map and how I turn. I think the nav is very good on this. You can see how much range you have. That's fairly accurate, although it can vary. You can see what the outside temperature is. I've got temperature here and so forth. This one does not have as many cameras as the current model Teslas will have. It has one backup camera. It has radar in the front that it's with the version 8 software using a little bit more for autopilot. What's interesting is I get software updates every few weeks. It's kind of like a phone almost.
Yeah.
And most of the time I don't notice the difference. Occasionally I will. And that's useful because they're slowly improving autopilot. When there is a wreck or there is a problem, they can fix that and push an update. So I think they're doing a very good job of kind of keeping this thing up to date all the time. It's really like a computer on wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, it's not like driving a gas car. It's more like driving an electric go-kart. especially because they use lightweight aluminum for everything, because they want to keep the weight down. The biggest weight on this is the lithium-ion batteries that are underneath us. Those are so heavy that it gives the car a lot of stability. But they also, you know, reduces the range, because the more weight you're moving, the lower the range. A couple other things I'll point out. I love this. And not everybody does.
Oh,
I just noticed this, by the way. This, I don't have a sunroof. This is just the largest windscreen in production. They tilt it, so you see the sun shining through. Some people say that's too bright, and they actually make a piece of cloth.
I want to try this in the desert.
At night, it's a spectacular view, and I love the kind of the sense that you can see more of what's going on. Of course, this is the Model X, and the thing that distinguishes the Model X. I'm not going to Taco Bell. I changed my mind. The one thing that's really different about the Model X, of course, is the space inside. It's got a lot of internal space. I can fold down the third row seats and get a great cargo capacity, but also it has those gull wing or falcon wing, he calls them, doors. Mm-hmm. They're falcon wing because unlike gull wing, they're articulated in the middle. I'll give you a little demonstration of those in a second. So what do you think?
I'm extremely impressed.
Yeah.
I've been kind of writing off electric cars.
Why?
Just because of performance.
Right.
But you just made my stomach roll to the back of my body, so...
All electric cars have this feature that electric motor has continuous torque, so they all have amazing pickup. And I think that could be a safety feature, the ability to kind of get out of trouble.
No, I agree, absolutely.
Yeah, and the handling is very good on this, mostly because of all that weight underneath it. I'm in love with this car. I really enjoy driving
this
it.
This is really pretty on the inside, too.
It's comfy,
look at,
right?
Look at all this...
Cup holders
space
are good
that
on.
You have
and this
in
is
here.
Nice. This goes away if yeah. I want. This
and
is,
I noticed you have a lightning.
It has built in, you can have yeah. lightning or you can have micro USB. Mm-hmm. They don't yet have a Type C connector, but
it's I'm sure.
I'm sure any day now.
Yeah.
But this all closes up and you know you can hide it if you want.
Oh, that's
there's
lovely.
Two USB ports here, so you have charging. The entertainment system's funny. It doesn't, for instance, if I connect an iPhone, I can't get control of the iPhone on the screen, which I think is a little bit odd. The entertainment system is really, it does support Bluetooth, so I can, you know, listen to stuff in Bluetooth, but it really is designed mostly for streaming, which I find kind of interesting. It's all about streaming.
Is that our future now? Everything's just streamed?
Well, as somebody who works in radio, AM radio in particular, it's a bit of a concern.
Yeah.
The number of other electric cars don't have AM radios. That's fairly common. So I'm going to park and I'll show you the best feature from the outside, the Falcon Wing doors here.
This is a smooth ride.
It's nice, isn't it? It's fairly comfortable.
It feels super luxurious.
I got a very boring color. You can get it in white with white seats. These are leather, tan leather seats. They also have black seats.
It's not boring, Leo. It's classic.
Thank you.
It's classic.
I agree. Let's open the door.
Oh, that's right. I was like, who's opening
yeah,
my
I'm
door?
I'm in charge here. That's me. And by the way, there's no on-off switch. I put it in park. It's off. And,
Does it go off after a certain
yeah,
amount of time?
It kinda, yeah, it knows what it's doing, yeah. apparently. But let me show you the Falcon
yes,
doors.
I need to get my... Yes, Gull Wings. This was inspired by the DeLorean,
100%. Absolutely.
100%.
And actually, these are one of the pieces they've had the most technical difficulties with, is these Falcon Wing
yeah.
doors. And I'm sure it's the first thing that's going to fail on this thing. But I'll tell you, it's more than just a cosmetic thing. If you have a child someday...
Right.
The ability to kind of walk up and put a car seat in like
this...
Put
the kid in.
...is awesome.
In, yep.
You can even... These are high enough that you can stand up. So...
4th of July fireworks.
In terms of accessibility, it's really good.
Yeah.
These all have sensors. They won't... In theory, in fact, we can do a little demo. You only need about a foot of clearance, and that's the whole point of the articulation, is that they can go up and then out. So see, it's gonna go up first.
What a nice car!
And then,
I'll consider it.
Yeah, and it's smart enough. It sees my head. It's not gonna hit me in the head. So it actually only open to the degree that it knows it has a free space to do it. There you go, Tesla Model X. This one, as equipped with the insane mode and the premium stereo, which is I didn't demonstrate, but it's quite good. I think it was around $126,000.
That's about as much as a Porsche Carrera.
Yeah, but it's faster.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually, one thing to keep in mind, electric vehicles' acceleration is remarkable. They can't sustain it for very long. The electric motors get hot. So what will happen is the car will sense the motor heating up. And at some point, it will slow you down, saying, you know, I can't keep driving 155 miles an hour.
I wish my smartphone did that when it overheated.
All right, let's go back inside. That's my Tesla review. I give yeah. it, I mean, I love it. For me, I'm very happy that I bought it.
I have to tell you.
It's a ridiculously expensive car, but you know, here's the secret. We just leased it because in 3 years,
exactly.
we're going to probably replace it
Everybody
with one that has
that
eight
anyway.
Cameras and ultra
yeah.
sound. Hey, while we're going back in, we should take a break. Brian Burnett has a look at his newest glucose meter. You might be interested.
Brian Burnett here, host of Know How, and if you're a diabetic, you know just how important it is to keep track and manage your blood sugar. Dario aims to simplify that problem with its all-in-one smart glucose meter. In this compact package, you have a container for test strips, a Lansing device, and the meter, which connects to your iPhone, or in my case, an iPad. The meter itself sells for $29.99. And to use this meter, you must download the iPhone-only app and plug in the strip meter to the headphone jack. Navigating the software is simple and it's functional. The process time is quick, but as far as accuracy, I would see a fluctuation between 15 to 20 points in back-to-back tests and also with my other glucose meter that I use. Of course, following the business model of modern ink printers, typically glucose meters are cheap, but where they get you is with the test strips. Dario strips are middle of the pack, coming in at 40 cents per strip, so by no means the most expensive, but they will drop to 25 cents if you order monthly. Once your blood count is recorded, it's a simple process of dialing in the parameters of what you ate, pre-meal, post-meal, bedtime, etc. My favorite part of the software is being able to see my previous tests in a graph view. It's also helpful to add reminders to check your blood sugar throughout the day. An added bonus for this review is people can attest that I even went through the trouble of bleeding for my job, which will add nicely to the sweat and tears. Taking the Dario glucose meter apart is easy, and it's nice that it's so compact that you might be tempted to carry it around in your pocket. But at this point, you may be asking yourself, how do I use this meter if I don't have an iPhone? Well, you can't. What if I have an iPhone 7? Well, they are coming out with a Thunderbolt meter soon, but this won't work either for that. You also won't be able to check your blood sugar if your battery's dead. So calling the Dario a smart meter is a bit like saying I have smart headphones because I can plug them into a smartphone. The software is functional, but the only differential from this and other blood monitoring apps is it saves you the trouble of typing in your blood sugar numbers. There are meters on the market that are self-powered and connect via Bluetooth to a smartphone, but of course those come at a much steeper price. If you're a iPhone-wielding diabetic who's looking for a compact way to track your blood sugar, the Dario could be a great companion to your dedicated everyday glucose meter. But the Dario is an example of just how far behind technology is for a diabetic in today's world, and that technology needs to be implemented to disrupt the status quo. This has been Brian Burnett, Type 1 Diabetic, signing off.
Really interesting. Thank you, Brian. Blood, sweat, and tears. Yeah, that's nice. Coming up, we got a call for help.
Yes.
Somebody who needs help with his Android device. But first, a word from Atlassian. We're a big Atlassian house. I think that's what you call it when you use software. We use Jira for our programming and actually keep track of our... We use the Kanban boards to keep track of our projects. We use HipChat all the time. That's how I communicate with producers. It's how our engineering team communicates. It's even how our sales team communicates. They love HipChat. Now there's Jira Service Desk from Atlassian. If you are an IT support company, if you're an IT professional, if you have customers that you support, you're really going to want to know about Jira Service Desk. Everything your IT team needs from as little as $10 a month. It's a new service management program that IT teams will love. It's built on the Jira platform, so you know it's a great start. It gives customers an easy way to ask for help. It lets you stay on top of your service level agreements with dynamic queues and mobile alerts. So if you have an SLA and there's a problem, it goes right to the top. You can help your agents be productive, from putting out fires to helping employees get stuff done. It helps you automate repetitive tasks. Your agents can focus on solving the important stuff. But they've also got stuff for supporting external teams that I really is remarkable. For instance, if you want customer feedback, for instance, to guide product development, you can use Jira Service Desk to get that feedback in, grouping customers to filter the queues, customizing SLAs, pulling reports by organization. If you send outbound emails to customers, they can be branded and customized. You can set up schedules and rules to control when and how the emails are sent. Of course, it integrates with Confluence. That's actually how we're using it, so we can build a support knowledge base. Our team will have that information available to provide quick and easy support when our listeners ask for help. Our IT department is using it to track projects and tasks assigned to each project as it moves from concept and implementation to the final project. This has been a big issue for us, is tracking all of this stuff. We even are using swim lanes for the department's Kanban board to track tasks and progress. Real-time visualizations. It's all that stuff that Jira does so well now applied to this specific kind of category. And of course, it integrates beautifully with HipChat. Notifications from Jira Service Desk are easily sent via HipChat and vice versa. Easy to set up and so affordable, you're not even going to need the boss's approval. You can just get going with it. In fact, I got a free trial for you, 7-day free trial. If you go to Atlassian.com/twit, Atlassian.com/twit, the first 100 signups are going to get that cool shirt. It's like the Konami code for your IT team. I like that. But you got to go right now. Right now, Atlassian.com/twit and a free 7-day trial. awaits. Thank you, Atlassian, for your support of the new screensavers and for keeping us, you know, on top of all of our jobs and tasks. Are you ready? Time for a call for help. I'm excited about this. We're going to Florianopolis, Brazil.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you ready?
I'm
Adhemar
ready.
Is on the line. Hey, Adhemar.
Hey, how are you guys?
Nice to see you. We have a lot of Brazilian viewers. I'm really thrilled. Brazil is a cool country, very interested in tech. Where is Florianopolis?
Deep south of Brazil.
Oh, neat. And what can we do for you?
Okay, it's not actually for me. It's more for my wife. Trying to find her a new phone, but it's really hard nowadays because all the 5.2-inch display phones are pretty much low spec. Mm-hmm. And or if they're not low spec, they're really, you know, mess up on the software. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if you take a look on those Chinese phones like Xiaomi, they have really good hardware spec. But I'm really, you know, nervous about their software updates and all the crap they put on those phones. And whenever you look for a 5.2-inch display, they're pretty much like missing something like NFC hardware, like a good processor. Like you can't. It's really hard to find like a OnePlus 3 with 5.2-inch display. So could you guys help me with that?
Boy, you came to the right place. We've got Florence here. Florence Ion writes for Android Central, covers this stuff with All About Android. I mean, if you don't know the answer, I don't.
I do know the answer, and I will say, Adhemar, if you're looking for something that can get you, you want to use Android Pay, have you considered the Moto G4?
Oh, I love
the
G.
Kind of,
it's low spec, but boy, it's good price.
It's still a really good phone. I had a great time using it, to be quite honest with you. And the G4 Plus comes with a fingerprint scanner. It's a little more pricey, but still pretty affordable. And also the Honor 8. I just had to give my Honor 8 away to one of my coworkers, which I'm super bummed about because I miss it. And it comes in a really beautiful blue color, so maybe your wife wants to get something that's a little different than what everybody has. Honor 8 is pretty darn good. It has a really good camera on it, too. It has dual cameras.
Does Moto still do the Moto Maker so you can, like, completely customize?
Yes.
See, that's nice. I like that feature. I really miss that.
Not as much on the G4, but...
Now, the G4's big. It's a 5.5-inch display. That's kind of a negative there.
That's right. I apologize about that.
Yeah. But boy, look at that price. Look at that price, $250. Kevin Marks was asking the same question this morning for his son who lost his phone. He's in Great Britain. And I mentioned these new he wanted a low-price phone, these new $400 phones, the Axon, the Huawei, the OnePlus. Mm-hmm. But they're all big. How about a Pixel? Is that the little Pixel is 5 inches? Yeah.
Yes, but it's very expensive.
Is price an issue for you?
Yeah, it's
going to be very, especially overseas, the price is going to go up.
Oh, yeah, they really make, that's terrible what they do.
And
that's partly your government, I got to tell you, because if a company doesn't make the phone in Brazil, there's massive tariffs. So I can only, you know, that's why Apple's got its, you know, partner making its iPhones in Brazil.
We're going to buy it in US anyway. So.
Oh, you're buying it here. Okay.
Yeah, because we're gonna spend our vacations there next month.
So are you going to come visit us?
I'd like to, but we're going to the other coast.
Oh, the other side? All right, that's all right.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
expect
you to come across the whole country just to visit
Left coast, best coast. Come on now.
Which one are we on? Oh, we're on the left coast.
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody make those?
Yes. So I was going to say, actually, ZTE just launched the Axon 7 Mini.
I love the Axon 7.
Now, it's on its way to me right now to review, so I actually don't know if it's out yet, but it might be out by the time you get here.
You mentioned you don't like what Huawei and others do in their software. Axon is about as clean and pure as you can get. I have an Axon 7. I love it. It's very much like
It's very pretty.
It's very
too.
Much like the 6P. It's got the back fingerprint reader on the back. It's got a great screen. It's got one thing that I wish more manufacturers would do, front-facing dual speakers.
I was just going to say that by Dolby. So
yeah.
So
this is the big one. This is the $400 Axon 7. But the Mini, do we know what the price point is going to be?
I do not know off the top of my head, but it is exponentially cheaper. However, it is mid-range specs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because this is an 820. It's kind of top of the
line.
Well,
this is the Snapdragon, I believe, 625.
That's
fine. Which is not is. It's fine.
What about the Moto Z? Do they have a Moto Z in that size?
They have the Moto Z Play.
The Play is really, you know what's good about the Play is battery life. That thing will not die. You could run it 3 or 4 days. What's the size on that, though?
I believe, I want to say it's 5.5. There's
Nobody's
so many
making
Android
these small
phones.
Screens.
Nobody's making small phones anymore.
Yeah.
The other one I was going to consider, if you want to go a little older, a little cheaper, and you don't mind, the HTC 1A9. It's really pretty.
Those were beautiful phones.
So,
aluminum bodies.
It's a year old, but, you know.
I'm going to pick one. I think the Axon 7 Mini.
I don't
know what the price is going to be.
I agree.
But I loved the Axon 7.
In fact, $329.
Hand feel is really good. I kept going back to the Axon 7. I had a OnePlus 3. Even with the Pixel, I kept going back to the Axon 7. I just loved that phone for some reason. Something about it really drew me. The only negative is it's not the greatest camera. And now with the Mini, it's not going to be the fastest processor.
It's not. But it's only $300, by the way.
Oh!
Here at Best Buy, it's only
$300.
$300. So just Google that for you real quick.
And as I remember, it's a very simple. It's not going to be Nougat or Nougat, as they say in Romania. But it's going to be Android 6, 601 probably, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, and I've said this again and again. I wish these companies would commit to taking the monthly security updates from Google. And ZTE hasn't said that yet.
No, that's true.
But they have been updating it. OnePlus, same thing. They haven't committed, but they have been updating. So I don't know if past experience is an indicator of future performance, but so far, anyway, they've been keeping it up to date. And because it's such a simple, pure version of 6, there's, as far as I can tell, it's basically stock.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have a hard time keeping it up to date.
If there's any way you can convince your wife to get the OnePlus 3.
It's a little bigger.
I bought one for myself.
Okay.
So she might, you know, I'm going to show her first and then whatever she likes.
Show her what you get for $400. See if she can deal with a little bit bigger screen. You know, I completely empathize. I'm a lady. They stopped making pockets on our pants. I have to carry a phone in a bag now. So I just kind of gave in, and now I just use big phones.
I'm kind of interested when I'm going to get the little Pixel at seeing if I can go back to a 5-inch screen. Every time I see somebody with a 5-inch phone, I go,
wow,
oh, that's
so
adorable.
Small.
It's so tiny. How do you live with
a
tiny phone? These don't seem big anymore, these 5.5-inch phones.
They don't.
They
like
seem
regular.
Normal. So anyway, there's a couple of thoughts for you, Adhemar. When are you coming up to the States?
On the 1st.
All right. Well, have a wonderful trip.
You know, our weather is a lot nicer here in November than on the East Coast.
Yeah, than back east.
I live in a big city, so I'm right.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, Adhemar. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And let us know what you end up getting, okay?
Absolutely.
Send us an email.
Okay.
I'd be very interested. And whether your wife likes it. We like that input. Great. Next week, it's going to be fun. Thank you for joining us. Kashmir Hill joins us from Fusion. If you want to ask a question, and I believe we're working on it right now, but one of the things I've been very interested in as we head into a U.S. election, November 8th, accusations of rigging, voter fraud, and the real legitimate concern about electronic voting machines. We are going to have an expert on all of that. We may have a couple of experts, and in fact, I think we're going to have Ron Revest of RSA, who's done a lot of work on this. And I understand Bruce Schneier has also agreed to join us to talk about voting security. That's next week. It'll be a lot of fun with Kashmir Hill. If you want to be on that show and you want to ask a question, here's how you do it.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
More Android questions to come. Florence, stick around. We need you badly. But first, Megan Maroney, she's going to take a look at some Bluetooth headsets that might work if you happen to get a phone that doesn't have, for some reason, a headphone jack.
I am Megan Maroney, host of iOS Today and Tech News Today. So, you've got your iPhone 7 or your Moto Z or another phone that has no headphone jack. What's a girl to do? Well, you can get yourself some Bluetooth headphones. Even if you do have a phone with a headphone jack, if you exercise at the gym, if you go running, you're probably going to want some Bluetooth headphones so all the wires don't get in the way. So I tested 4 pairs of Bluetooth headphones ranging from $45 to $200. And I'm going to let you know what I think. First, these are the cheapest. They're the Kinevos. These are $45. Like I said, they come with this handy case. And these are great for someone who doesn't like to stick things in their ears. And also great if you're running on the road and you want to hear sound around you. They're not noise canceling or anything. So they just fit over the ears and they have the controls on the side. I ran with these several times. They were great. They were especially good for listening to podcasts. Not wonderful for listening to music. I mean, it sounded fine. But if you're a true audiophile, these $45 Bluetooth headphones are probably not going to do it for you. But if you just want something that you can throw in your bag, they fold up, easy to travel with. Kinevo, $45. I recommend, especially if you don't love music. Then the Jabra Sport Pulse Special Edition. These are my favorite. I've been using these for a couple months now, and I really like them. With all Bluetooth headphones, for sound, it's really important that you get a good fit. So these, many good Bluetooth headphones, come with a lot of different pieces that you can fit in your ear. So some people have small ears, some people have big ears. They come also with different ear wings. Those are the things that fit over and fit inside your ear to keep them still. If you do a lot of running on the road, especially busy streets, these might not be the best for you because you cannot hear anything. So you would choose these if you run on the track or if you run in the gym. And the controls are on the side. They were easy to pair. And these cost $159. Next is the BE6i. These come with a few more parts. They were a little bit more difficult to put together. So the ear wings are separate from the tips. They were easy to pair. They're smaller. They're a little more elegant looking. They have the controls on the side. These New Force BE6i are $130, and they sounded great. They have something called aptX, which uses fewer bits per sample, so the files are smaller, and better compression, we all know, makes for better sound. So if you are interested in sound and you want to pay a little bit extra for that, try the BE6i, and they also come with a special case to fit them in. And finally, we have the Roam Ropes. These ones are definitely different than the others. They have a special look that could be for you, or you might not like it. Roam Ropes were created by one of the co-creators of Beats, Stephen Lamar. They have an EQ engine attached to them, this little box, which is supposed to give better sound for you. There's an app that you can control from your phone and adjust the sound exactly how you like it. I'll show you how these fit on. They go over your neck and they hang below your neck. They're supposed to hang like this. They're really designed for wearing all the time. It's making a sort of fashion statement. It isn't the fashion statement that I might want to make, but, you know, everyone is different. So they could also go in the back. I've seen people wearing them in the back. What I'm confused about this is, like, what part of wireless did you not understand? Because there still seems to be a lot of wires and it's kind of messy. But I actually went running with these. I ran 5 miles with these. They did not fall out. This didn't bounce around and bother me at all. So I don't know. If you want to spend $200, you really like sound and you like trying to customize your sound, you might like to try the Roam Ropes. So that's it. I tried all 4 of these headphones. They were really different. And, you know, there are things about them that I liked. Like I said, the Jabra Sport Pulse for me for running and going to the gym, these were my favorite. If you have headphones that you'd like to recommend, email me at megan@twit.tv. Tell me what you like about them and I'll take a look at those too.
There are a lot of them. This is a very big category, I have to say. I'm still waiting for Apple's. The AirPods are supposed to come out this month. They're running out of time. They're better hurry. Maybe they'll announce them at the event on
I still have a headphone jack, so I'm good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you ought to. Hey, I want to thank Winton Churchill. He is a friend of the show, a fan. And he lives in San Miguel de Allende in Mexico, beautiful town. And his friend makes these wonderful shirts. Abrazos is the name of her store. And he sent me about 5 of them, I don't know, 6 months ago. I just got 5 more. How do you like this one, the Mexican hats one?
I like how festive it is.
I love these shirts. So, Winton, thank you so much. And it's online if you want to get them. I'm going to give them a plug. I don't get any, you know, kickback from them, but I do get shirts. ABRAZOS.com. And I think she'll ship them to the United States. They're really great. Our show today brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is changing the way you cook and eat. Maybe you don't cook, I don't blame you. You know, you work hard all day. You're tired. 5 p.m. comes, and now the last thing you want to do, plan a meal, get the ingredients, go shopping, go home and cook it. It's like, that's why we always end up at the Olive Garden, right? Or Taco Bell or somewhere. Well, that's not good. It's not good for your wallet. It's not good for your stomach. It's not good for your psychology. You got to get Blue Apron. There's nothing like it. Okay, end of the day comes, you're tired, but you don't have to shop, you don't have to plan, because your Blue Apron box is waiting for you with delicious, fresh ingredients, pre-cut, pre-prepared, all ready to go. Within half an hour to 45 minutes, you're going to have an amazing meal. You even get that recipe card in there that tells you step-by-step how to make it. And by the way, not only will you save time and save energy, but you're going to save money. The grocery store is 60% more expensive than Blue Apron. They don't have the brick and mortar. They don't have the clerks. So they can make amazing meals, affordable meals for you. And if you're spending a lot of time eating out or at fancy grocery stores, you're going to spend a lot less than 10 bucks per person for an amazing meal. And I got to tell you, they have couples plans and they have family plans. There's nothing like it, especially if you have kids. They have kid-friendly ingredients. And you're cooking with the kids and the house fills with this incredible aroma. Your mouth starts watering. It is the best way to bond. It's amazing. Listen to Blue Apron's mission. They want to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone while supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. And they do it by getting the best, most luscious food from 150 local farms and fisheries and ranchers across the United States. Seafood is sourced sustainably. The beef is raised humanely. The chickens are free range. The pork is ranged naturally. They use regenerative farming practices. And you're going to get ingredients you've probably never heard of, but you're going to love. Now, what you want to do is go to blueapron.com/twit and look at the menu. See the spiced beef skewers, maybe the spicy hoisin chicken and broccoli or cod sandwiches. Pick the meals you're going to get, 3 meals to a box. You don't have to, you never have to, if something you don't, just get what you like. You don't have to, oh boy, that looks good. Oh man, I don't know why they do this to me. And then you're going to get that box. And by the way, your first 3 meals are free if you go to blueapron.com/twit. So get the experience. No waste. You always get exactly what you need. If you need one clove of garlic, you get one clove of garlic. If you need a lemon, you get a lemon. No worry about waste. And believe me, you're going to eat every bite because it is so delicious. Healthy, wonderful meals like crispy chicken milanese with warm Brussels sprouts, celery, and potato salad. Thai green curry chicken and squash with yu choy, jasmine rice, and cashews. You make it, you devour it, your family will love you. Everything is wonderful in the world, Blue Apron. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. BlueApron.com/twit. Give it a try today. Time for our mailbag. Let's see what's in the mailbag. I don't know why we still call this a mailbag.
No.
Oh, dear. Oh, so yeah, there's a little story behind this baggie. So during the Tesla review, we had a number of extra cameras. Of course, Anthony Nielsen was in the back seat with a camera. But we also had, as you probably could tell, we had a camera in front of us. That was a GoPro. And then we did have a GoPro suction cupped to the side of the car. What, it fell off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this my GoPro?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the... Apparently, not only did it fall off...
Oh, there's...
Crum!
Oh, wow!
That truck drove over it.
Oh, a truck.
And there's Jerry risking his life to save the pieces. I didn't really need the pieces that
oh my
bad
gosh.
Of the GoPro. So I cannot say that no GoPros were harmed in the making of this show. And I apologize to the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to GoPros. Wow. Wow. It's all right. I really didn't need this Hero 3 anymore anyway.
Aren't we on 5 now or something?
Yeah, it was. It's an old... Well.
Sorry, not... It's an excuse to get a new one. That's what I meant.
It's an excuse
to get
a new
one. Always an
no,
excuse.
You know what? It's just a dangerous job. People don't realize this, how dangerous it is doing the new screensavers.
It is.
All right. These are both for you, dear.
All righty.
Scott M. from North Lake, Illinois has this question for you, Florence.
Hi, Flo and Leo. I have a question about Android Marshmallow and SD cards. I have purchased an LG K3, and it only has 8 gigabytes of internal storage. I also have a 32-gigabyte generic SD card that I bought from Micro Center. I want to use it as actual internal storage with the SD card, so I have more space for apps. However, I can't format the card for that purpose. It can only be formatted for portable storage. You can't use it with the 8 gigabyte storage. Do I need a special card for that, or is this phone just not incompatible with that feature? Thank you. I love the show.
Thank you for the question. First of all, why do people still sell 8 gigabyte phones? Yes, 1 gig free after Android. 1 gig. What are you going to do with that? Now, I've never heard of a phone that you can't use an SD card for more than just...
Yeah.
Transportable storage. I don't even know what that means.
Well, so here's the thing, Scott. I think that your SD card is probably fine. It doesn't really, unless you really bought like some sort of knockoff from some weird website on the internet, I think the SD card you have is totally fine. The only thing that's kind of a bummer is that only certain apps will allow you to actually store onto the SD card, and you'll have to do that manually from the app settings. I actually have this problem with my Galaxy Tab S 2, which is wonderful tablet, but I can only move a couple of apps to have them run off the SD card. So you're going to have to do that manually.
My understanding is that any app that has a widget interface, as soon as you move to the SD card, the widget goes away. You can't use widgets with apps on the SD card.
I actually wasn't aware of that.
Yeah,
That's
the issue.
But
I blame Google, because Google doesn't even support SD cards. Notice these new phones, the Pixels, don't have SD cards. Google doesn't want you to use SD cards. It turns out SD cards are tough. I remember when Microsoft came out with its Windows phones, they had an SD card slot, but it didn't work really well. And Microsoft said, you know, the problem is it's confusing for the operating system to have a separate drive. So Google does offer this adopted storage.
Right.
I doubt that this phone will do adopted storage. The LG phone will
probably
do that.
Probably not. So what you're going to have to do is go into the settings, see which apps, you know,
some will
let
mobile.
You. Yeah, I mean, on my tablet, which I only have 32 gigs on, but I still managed to max it out. I moved all my games, Pokemon, the card
those,
game.
Those tend to be big.
Very big, but I moved all those to a 64 gigabyte SD card so that I can reclaim some more space. I also use the texture app. I use that on the SD card, so that's where everything gets downloaded. But I had to do it all manually and do it carefully, because when you do it, it's going to do it slowly, and it looks like it's going to freeze, but it's actually just moving data. So wait a little bit.
It's also, you know, most apps will let you put their data on the SD card. Photos, music.
Yep.
It bugs me when they don't. In fact, periodically, apps will change. Audible for a while was allowing me to store my books, my audiobooks on the SD card. Then suddenly they put out a release and it didn't do it anymore. And I went, oh, no.
That's
and
a
then
real
they,
bummer.
Well, I think it was a mistake because they brought it back in the next release. But if you can, store as much data as you can on the SD card.
Yeah, absolutely data.
Too.
And it'll show you in the settings. You can see exactly how much is being stored on the SD card, how much you have on the system. So... But 8 gigs is, unfortunately, I mean, that's...
1 gig free.
Wow. Come on, LG. It's 2016.
Yeah. Well, you know why they do that. That's going to be the low-cost phone that you probably can get for free from your carrier. They're trying to keep the cost as low
bummer,
as possible.
That's a bummer, though. I mean...
How much does storage cost nowadays?
Right? Exactly.
Right? $5.
Do you have storage in the Tesla that we just were in?
No.
Oh, well, I was going to say, it's so cheap.
No, there
it's
must
the
be storage, but I don't have access to it. There must be
it's
storage.
It's probably in the tablet, I would imagine. It has a little bit of cache storage.
You know, my my Audi had a hard drive.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge hard drive, but I could rip CDs and put it on the hard drive.
My car has 4 gigs in it.
Right. My watch has 4 gigs in it, for crying out loud. Still kidding. I could put 4 gigs of music in an Apple Watch. All right, you have another question.
I do have another question. So this one is from Nick. Hi, Leo and Flo. That's me. Thanks for your help in switching to Android. After the Note 7 recall, I ended up with the next best thing, the S7 Edge. I'm happy with the software that comes on it, but I've heard that there's even better UIs than Samsung's default launcher, which seems to be reviled in some Android circles. You're absolutely correct, Nick. It is very reviled. First, are there any pitfalls to trying other launchers? Second, what would you recommend for a really good launcher? So first of all, Nick, and... I believe you have a favorite launcher as well.
I do.
Nova Launcher, right?
That's mine.
The one you like.
What do you like?
I like Action Launcher.
Love it.
actually. Both very, very good. Very customizable.
ADW is very good.
Absolutely. Consider maybe if you want full features to drop a little bit of cash, support the developers. You know.
I do buy the pro version.
Yeah,
it was all,
exactly.
It was $5 for a Nova Launcher.
Yeah. But you can try it out.
What you want to look at is how actively developed the app is. So look at the most recent version and when that was released. One nice thing about Nova Launcher is it's in active development. They continue to improve it. For instance, I showed you the Pixel Launcher and how long touch only currently on the Pixel Launcher will give you a menu of items. It doesn't work yet in any other launcher. I imagine, though, that launchers will add that capability. I'm sure there's an API for it. And if anybody does it, it seems to me Nova Launcher will do it first. I always, especially with Samsung, I have a couple of things I do. I first turn off S-Voice, because what do I need two voices for, right? Google does it best. I turn off S-Voice. I usually disable as many Samsung and carrier apps as I can. You can't uninstall them, but at least you can hide them by disabling them.
Yeah.
And then I immediately put Nova Launcher on there. I pay for the Nova Launcher Prime. And that way, I have a much more controllable, better user interface. For instance, and I wish Apple would allow me this kind of flexibility.
In fact,
they use other launchers. I don't like the text under my icons. I know what that icon does.
You just want to see the icon.
I just want the icon. Yeah. It saves me a lot of space.
And you could do that with, like, Action Launcher or whatever. You can just
Most
get
launchers,
rid of it.
Yeah. That I think using a third-party launcher, finding your favorite will help a lot.
Yeah.
There's one more reason I use, and I know you feel like you need to use the stock launcher so you can review a phone with stock.
It's my job.
And that same reason I still have the Pixel launcher on my Google phone. But one thing for people who do move from phone to phone to phone like we do, Nova Launcher, and some other launchers are this, but Nova Launcher at least will let me save my setup.
Cloud backup.
And I save it to Google Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I get a new phone, all I have to do is make sure I've downloaded all the apps, and then I install Nova Launcher, and I load from Google Drive my previous setup, and boom, I'm exactly where I want to be. All the widgets, all the folders, everything I like.
Yeah. And Nick, you will have access to all the extra features that comes with, I believe it's called Grace UI on, now it's called Grace UI.
Is that what they call it? The Samsung UI?
Actually, I think that was only on the Note 7. I apologize. It's still TouchWiz on the S7 Edge. You'll still have access to things like the Edge features if you want to use them. But if you don't want to go with any of those third-party launchers, go Google Launcher. That way
Now launcher is good.
You have Google Now living there on the left side, so you have all the info you need. You have one-touch access to search. You can do OK Google from the home screen. And it makes the S7 Edge much more palatable, quite honestly.
So there are a lot of people who have turned in their Note 7s, although a surprisingly large number, maybe as many as a million people still have Note 7s. Please don't do that. Send it back. It's not worth
smart.
It.
It's like having a car that's been recalled. Just take it back.
Yeah. But what... Do you think the Galaxy S7 is a reasonable alternative? That's not blowing up. That's the good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't have a pen, somewhat smaller screen, but in every other respect, I think it's just like the Note 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same components. It's just
a small
the
Note
design
7.
Is a bit different.
Yeah.
And you don't get the new software that came with Note 7, which is like so much more simplified and prettier. That's the Grace UI.
The Grace
but
UI.
It's coming. It's going to come.
They'll update that, I'm sure. Especially now that they don't have a Note 7 to update, they probably have some engineers.
That's the bummer of buying a third-party Android device, is that you have to
wait for
rely on them for updates.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love you.
Hey, Florence, nice to see you. Thank you for coming.
Thank
I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Leo. This
Florence Ion, Oh That Flow, O-H-T-H-O.
F-L-O.
F-L-O, T-H-A-T-F-L-O, Oh That Flow on the Twitter.
On the
You'll see her every Tuesday night, 5 p.m. Pacific. A little later, maybe 6 p.m. whenever they show up.
Between 6 p.m. 5 and 6, that's when they usually show up at the studio. So
kind of like me. It's flow time. Every Tuesday night for All About Android. Great show. I watch that every week. I love
it. I'm so glad.
I'm interested in Android. I love it. And you and Jason and Ron are so good together. It's such a good team.
I love them.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. And come back soon.
I will.
Okay. As I mentioned, next week, Kashmir Hill joins us from Fusion. Please be nice to her. And I always worry the first time somebody's on the show. Like, don't be mean to her, right?
No hazing.
No hazing.
No hazing.
We do this show. When do we do it? 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC on Saturday afternoons. Don't forget. I know there's something I'm supposed to say not to forget.
Flash briefing.
What?
Flash briefing.
Oh, yeah, if you have an Echo. Do you have an Echo?
Nah. I got a Google Home. That's what I'm waiting for
I'm
right
waiting
now.
For my home, too.
Yes.
And probably we could be on that, too. I'm not going to say anything. But we are on the Echo right now. And so all you have to do if you apparently only in the U.S., but if you're in the U.S., use your Alexa app and search for Twit in the additional stuff you can have in your briefing, and you'll get a daily dose of tech news on Saturday. It's this show. On Sunday, it's Twit. And Monday through Friday, it's Tech News Today as part of your flash briefing. So I use that all the time, and I love it. It's a great way to start your day, get the news, but also get the latest tech news. I think that's all I have to plug. Is there anything else I have to plug? We have a newsletter, twit.tv/newsletter.
It's a good newsletter. I read it.
Thank
you. Yes, I do, of course.
Because you're in it. Like, we talk about what All About Andrea is going to do. twit.tv/newsletter. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on the new Screensavers. Bye. I didn't say anything.